This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. Off the Shelf gives a voice to commercial service and product companies selling in the federal market. Roger speaks to members and government officials about procurement policy trends, innovations, and debates. Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now, your host, Roger Waldron.
Today, my guest on Off the Shelf is Lisa Doyle. Lisa is the Chancellor for the Department of Veteran Affairs Acquisition Academy. It's located in Frederick, Maryland. It's a relatively new organization. I think it's been in place for about 3 years. And it's great to have her talk about the acquisition workforce and some of the groundbreaking things that the VA is doing in terms of the training and development of the acquisition workforce. Lisa, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Roger. It's my pleasure.
Oh, well, I'm looking forward to this discussion. You know, the acquisition workforce is a bigger focus these days than it has been in a long time, and I think that's a good thing for procurement. I think there was a period there for about 5 to 10 years when, you know, they were cutting the acquisition workforce, not focusing on the development of the acquisition workforce, and now it's all about trying to get people the skills and tools and resources to do good buying on behalf of the taxpayer. But first, Lisa, I want to congratulate you. You were chosen the 2011 Chief Learning Officer of the Year by Chief Learning Officer Magazine. And I think that's a tribute to the groundbreaking, you know, accomplishments and what you've done with the Acquisition Academy, excuse me. Can you tell us a little bit about that award? How did that come about? Go ahead.
Certainly, I'd be happy to. And I am completely honored to have been nominated and awarded the Chief Learning Officer of the Year. It's an award given annually by MediaTek Publishing, who publishes Chief Learning Officer magazine. It is a global award, meaning there are nominees from all over the world. And I am more than honored to have been selected. And I'm also privileged to serve our veterans and to be able to stand up an academy that is innovative and creative to train our acquisition workforce so that we can serve our veterans properly.
You mentioned standing up the academy. So you came to the academy in 2008 and that's the year it was founded, put in place. Can you talk a little bit about some of your background and how you got to where you got appointed to work at the academy?
Certainly. I started out as an acquisition professional myself in an entry-level position and came to love the field, rose up through the field to become a leader myself. I served in DoD for 16 years as a civilian in the acquisition profession and then went to the civilian sector to the Department of Commerce. My last position there was the Deputy Senior Procurement Executive. And one of the things that I loved about that position was the workforce development aspect, where I had the responsibility of ensuring that our workforce was properly trained. And I learned that that was my passion, to develop others and to be able to make a meaningful difference in the lives of others. And so when the VA decided to stand up its own academy, I jumped at the chance to be able to do that. When I left the Department of Commerce, I went out to industry, to a consulting firm to stand up a training institute for them. So I had 6 years experience in industry actually building a training institute from scratch and developing a training curriculum to serve acquisition professionals and program and project managers. And so now I'm able to do that for the VA.
With regard to, and I know that the company you work for, Acquisition Solutions, Inc., I'm very familiar with them. I knew about them when I was in government and the services they provided the contracting offices in terms of research and that sort of thing and the training as well. So it's very, very, very good organization. Can you tell us about the founding of the Academy? And also I'd kind of be interested when you got there, what did you see? You know, what were the challenges? What did you have to think about in trying to organize it, establish it, get it off its feet?
Certainly. The Academy was established because of a vision by my senior leadership team. So my direct first line boss is Jan Fry, the Deputy Assistant Secretary for Acquisition and Logistics at the Department of Veterans Affairs. And Jan is very much supportive of workforce development and decided that we would create a centralized learning facility for our acquisition team. Previously, we had trained in a very decentralized fashion. VA has medical centers across the U.S., and so we were going and training regionally. The challenge was with that is that you don't get to have the oversight and the centralized approach and the centralized management. So with having our own bricks and mortar actual schoolhouse, it gave us the opportunity to train the team, to create a standardized curriculum, and to be able to monitor the effectiveness of that curriculum, and certainly be able to continue to improve upon that curriculum. So the first thing that I came across when I started the position was an empty building. And so I
That's
was
a good
able
place to start, right?
At it least, was a perfect place to start. And with that empty building, I was able to work with the architect and the furniture designer. And the first thing I said to them was, close your eyes and think of a normal government facility, and we're going to do the opposite. So what we've created is a learning environment that is innovative and definitely is a place that it's okay to fail because failure means learning. So the environment was important, first and foremost, to create a schoolhouse where the students that come here know that it's for their growth and personal development. The second thing I needed to do was hire the resources to garner the funding and to create a curriculum that was going to be meaningful and change behavior and improve performance across the enterprise.
All right. So how many folks are on the faculty?
So my staff is 72 members.
Oh, wow.
I have vice chancellors in charge of every school. And under the vice chancellors, they have program project managers working for them, training specialists, instructional systems designers, staff assistants. I have a public affairs officer, a budget and financial group, as well as Learning Standards Office. The Learning Standards Office ensures that across all five schools that our training is making a meaningful difference.
Right. Well, can you talk a little bit about now about the, you mentioned schools. I think you have five schools. Is that correct?
I do.
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about what they are and what they cover?
Of course. So the first school we opened up was our internship school. It's our succession plan to create the next generation of acquisition professionals. And our internship school has 113 interns currently. We are getting ready to hire our next cohort of 30.
Wow. And
then we are opening up a new intern program actually next month. It's a Wounded Warrior intern program called Warriors to Workforce. And we will be welcoming them on board in December. They'll be in a three-year internship program to learn how to become contracting professionals and then have a job in the VA. So
excellent.
Veterans serving veterans and their opportunity to give back, but also our opportunity to create career paths for them.
So how does the internship program, how does that work? Do they spend time in Frederick at the campus, and then they go out and to different parts of the country or different, you know, buying places, work there for a while, then come back or in share? How does it work?
The internship program is a holistic model. It's an experiential learning model where we train them in their technical skills. So all of those contracting training courses that are mandated by OFPP. Then they are also given job rotation experience. And then they also have interpersonal skills training, leadership training, and program management training infused into their curriculum. They also have mission service projects because it's very important that they see, touch, and feel our mission firsthand. So we actually go to the medical centers and we get to meet the veterans, shake their hands, listen to their stories. And then the interns get to tell the veterans why they're there, to learn how to be acquisition professionals, to buy the goods and services that they need and so deserve for their care.
Well, it sounds to me that's, you know, I've heard you and seen you quoted as saying you develop the whole person. And it sounds like that internship program is exactly that type of program. But right now, Lisa, we do have to take a break, you know. But when we come back, we'll be talking more about the VA Acquisition Academy and the curriculum and the five schools. You're listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Government year-end is fast approaching. Look to GSA Advantage and the Han Company now and anytime you're challenged with a compressed time frame or to do more but spend less. Now more than 400 of Han's newest and top models are available online and at great manufacturer direct prices. You'll find multi-purpose chairs, smart desk solutions, durable storage cabinets, contemporary conference tables, and more to fit any office need. All meet or exceed government sustainability requirements, too. To shop Han Direct, go to gsaadvantage.gov and type Han's contract number 27F, like furniture, 0015S, like Sam, in the search bar. That's 27F0015S. When you need office furniture, GSA Advantage is a quick, safe way to buy online, and Han lets you stretch your budget without compromising quality or style. Buy Han Direct. Go to gsaadvantage.gov and search contract 27F0015S today.
Donating to United Way of the National Capital Area and its charities is an easy way to champion a cause. With every payroll deduction, you can be a knight in shining armor battling childhood diabetes or illiteracy, or a fairy godmother granting job skills, elder care, or shelter from domestic abuse. Choose CFC code 31408 and be a superhero to those in need in our community. No cape required. Amazing things happen when we stand united.
Things just don't happen. You need a plan. A federal career can last 30 years or more, and so can federal retirement. Tune in each Monday at 10 a.m. to get the information you need to plan your course for financial security, solid benefits, and optimum health care. 100% focused on the federal employee for your benefit, presented by NITP, has the answers to your mid-career and retirement planning questions. Listen to For Your Benefit, Mondays at 10 a.m. on 1500 AM Federal News Radio for an hour that can change your future.
Ravens fans, 1500 AM Federal News Radio is your D.C. home for Ravens football. Listen to every game as the Ravens dominate the AFC North and march toward the Super Bowl.
Third down and goal from the one. Give us a Ray Rice, running right, big hole, touchdown!
Catch all the action as the Ravens take on the Cincinnati Bengals, Sunday, November 20th. Pre-game starts at 12:30 on 1500 AM.
I've always struggled with losing weight. With APWU Health Plan's new weight management program, I can see a dietitian or nutritionist in Cigna's extensive nationwide network for free.
APWU Health Plan has benefits to enhance your lifestyle. It features two plans with comprehensive benefits and nationwide coverage.
APWU Health Plan's diabetes management program saves me over $150 a month, and finding the right provider with Cigna's network was simple.
Learn more at APWUHP.com or call 1-800-744 2728.
The Cloud Conundrum, public, private, or both? A panel discussion with experts from government and industry, sponsored by Brocade. Panelist Anthony Robbins, Vice President of Federal Sales, Brocade.
The world today is going to spend about $40 billion on information technology capabilities to enable the cloud. By the year 2020, the world is going to spend in excess of $244 billion on information technology to enable the cloud. And so I can assure you what the commercial IT companies like Brocade are going to do is they're going to begin all of their development efforts and all their R&D alignment to enable the cloud capabilities.
Cloud innovations are here. Is your network optimized? Accelerate to the cloud with Brocade's new technology and business models. Brocade's cloud-optimized solutions provide a foundation to help organizations migrate to private clouds. What does this mean to your agency? Increased utilization, simplified management, and an agile organization. That's why Brocade solutions are used in over 90% of global 1,000 data centers. Learn how Brocade will transition your organization to a virtualized world. Go to federalnewsradio.com, search cloud.
What Facebook has done, they're transforming advertising. With Google click-through, you don't really know who's clicking through. But with Facebook, you can so specify who's looking at your ads that it's extremely targeted. That's why Google is so worried, because Facebook has created this closed ecosystem. They don't allow Google search into their little private kingdom. And Google is afraid that the Facebook community will become larger than Google's.
Stratford University's Tech Talk Radio, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Join a firm at their December 8th luncheon for an in-depth discussion of government contracting trends and techniques. Hear highlights on what's hot and what's not in federal acquisition as Tech America unveils usage trends for IDIQs, GWACs, and scheduled contracts. A lively panel moderated by Wyatt Cash of AOL Government will follow with experts from NASA, GSA, NIH, and Navy discussing innovations in government contracting. Lunch and learn with a firm at the Sofitel Hotel on Thursday, December 8th at noon. Register today at affirm.org.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are talking to Lisa Doyle. Lisa is the Chancellor of the Department of Veteran Affairs Acquisition Academy, groundbreaking educational institution that focuses on developing the VA's acquisition workforce. And Lisa, when we took our first break, we were talking about the five schools, and you talked a little bit about the acquisition internship program that you have. Can you talk a little bit about the other four schools that you have in place and what they focus on?
Of course. Our next school is our contracting professional school, and that is for our existing workforce of contracting professionals who actually work in the hospitals and contracting offices across the U.S. They are required to maintain their first to be certified and then to maintain their certifications. So they come to the academy for all of those training classes, contracting classes, level 1, 2, and 3 certification are all available at the academy, and then courses to maintain those certifications. The next school is our program management school. It is to train our program.
I do have a question about that first, and it just popped in my head. So when they come and stay, do you have places for them to stay? You get folks coming from VA hospitals around the country, right, who are COs. You've got on the campus, do you actually have, housing for folks, or do they stay in hotels around? How does that work? I'm just curious.
I wish I had a hotel for them to stay in, although one of the reasons why we chose Frederick, Maryland as a location for the academy to be built in is it does have an infrastructure in place to support students that come. So I have a number of hotels, restaurants, there are transportation. We have the Mark Train facility right across the street from the academy. And so they do stay in hotels nearby, and they are accommodated quite nicely while they're there. And the per diem rate there is much less than Washington, D.C.
Right.
Another reason to have it.
Very cost-effective, yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you were about to start talking about the next school. I so rudely interrupted.
Next school is Program Project Management Training. So it's similar to FACC, Federal Acquisition Certification and Contracting. It's FAC PPM. Federal Acquisition Certification and Program Project Management. So we have about 5,000 program project managers in the VA, and we train them in entry, mid, and senior level, depending on their role and responsibility. We train them to manage cost, schedule, and performance properly to ensure that the programs and projects that they are executing are actually meeting the needs and meeting our mission goals. The next school is our facility management school. There are about 12,000 facility managers in the VA, and it's important that they are trained to keep those facilities running at all times, 24/7 for our veterans. And then we have a supply chain management school that trains our logisticians to ensure that we've got the supplies and the products there when they're needed and where they're needed to ensure that the supply chain is managed properly, and we're strategically sourcing and getting those goods in the appropriate way and at an appropriate cost.
Yeah, I could see, I can see it could be, I'm thinking about the university and the description and the numbers of folks that you have. It seems to me that this idea of the academy, it just, it really does fill that need in terms of uniform training, because I can imagine that what the challenge is that the VA has had, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, but it just seems to me just the variables and the levels of training across the country without some sort of central, you know, organization responsible for it, you could get so many, you know, variables involved that in terms of expectations and performance, both at the hospitals and the contractors too, on the flip side, you know, you just, the uncertainty there would actually make it more difficult to run the operation. I mean, does that make sense?
It does. And another reason why creating a centralized facility was a good thing. We're able to train the entire acquisition team and across the five schools. So far we have, there are about 40,000 students that we have the responsibility to train to both certify and maintain their certifications. The other benefit of having a centralized facility is when I am buying training, I can garner quantity discounts that normally a vendor would not give if you're just buying a seat or a group training class. So when I'm buying 5 years worth of training, for example, a base contract with 4 one-year options, I can garner quantity discounts like no other. And I can pass those discounts on to other agencies that would like to take our training as well. So one of the things that I set out to do is get it right for the VA first and then open it up to other government agencies. I was able to do that in the first year, and thus far we've served 13 other government agencies.
Oh, wow. Who are the biggest users?
So we've served, that's a good question, the biggest user, although we have served 13 agencies, they are Department of Homeland Security, the Department of Transportation, the Department of Commerce, all the major cabinet-level agencies have been part of benefiting from our training. You know, even small agencies that don't have the ability to stand up their own academy, mm-hmm. for example, and that may need just to send one person or may just need one group training class, for example.
Yeah, and I, you know, just following up on your description of the other schools of program management and supply chain logistics, as part of their training, do they get training on, you know, acquisition basics? Is that part, you know, the FAR, that sort of thing? So, you know, they get a sort of a picture of what, you know, the contracting officer's dealing with as part of their overall education?
It is part of the program management curriculum. They do get a course in acquisition because, you know, we're a team. And
right.
So it's important that we understand the other roles and responsibilities, but we can also leverage the knowledge and expertise of our team members.
Well, I think that's a vital thing to do, just based on my experience when I worked in government, and I was an attorney working on procurements, and you're trying to pull that, and there were big ones. So, you know, you pull that team together, and you've got the contracting professionals, the attorneys who understand the system, but often you get a program manager who's, you know, their focus is obviously their requirement, as it should be. But did not have a lot of understanding about the process that you had to go through to actually, you know, compete and award a contract. And I think the more those managers know about that, the process, the better able actually they are to manage the overall acquisition from their perspective and getting what they need. So I think that is a great thing to do.
And just like that, Roger, we also infuse program management into our intern curriculum so that, you know, managing a contract is a lot like managing a program. You need to manage cost, schedule, and performance. And I want them to have those rigorous skills and the tools. So, for example, every intern in the academy has MS Project loaded on their computer, and they're given training on how to use that tool so that they can manage their milestones and hold themselves accountable for meeting those milestones.
Now, do you all coordinate with or do anything with FAI, the Federal Acquisition Institute, or Defense Acquisition University? Do you guys ever work together on things?
We have very close relationships with both FAI and DAU. I have a formal MOU, Memorandum of Understanding, in place with DAU so that we can collaborate and share leading practices with each other. And FAI is a great training partner as well. Certainly, we align with all of their business competencies and infuse those into our training, and then certainly provide any training help that they need from us.
Okay, well, that's a perfect place to stop for this segment, Lisa, because we do have to take a break. But when we return, we'll be talking more to Lisa Doyle. Lisa is the Chancellor for the Department of Veteran Affairs Acquisition Academy. And we'll be talking more about the academy. And in this segment, we'll talk a bit about the wounded veterans and what the academy is doing to help their transition to the civilian workforce. And as Lisa so aptly put it, you know, veterans serving veterans. You're listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Government year-end is fast approaching. Look to GSA Advantage and the Han Company now and anytime you're challenged with a compressed time frame or to do more but spend less. Now more than 400 of Han's newest and top models are available online and at great manufacturer direct prices. You'll find multi-purpose chairs, smart desk solutions, durable storage cabinets, contemporary conference tables, and more to fit any office need. All meet or exceed government sustainability requirements, too. To shop Han Direct, go to gsaadvantage.gov and type Han's contract number 27F, like furniture, 0015S, like Sam, in the search bar. That's 27F0015S. When you need office furniture, GSA Advantage is a quick, safe way to buy online, and Han lets you stretch your budget without compromising quality or style. Buy Han Direct. Go to gsaadvantage.gov and search contract 27F0015S today.
Here's Chase Garwood, Chief Technology Officer, DHS U.S. Visit, on the Federal Executive Forum on Trusted Identities and Identity Management, sponsored by Deloitte.
I'm a big fan of mobility. I think mobility is going to be key, and I think biometrics built into that mobility. We're seeing commercial products coming out right now with voice and facial on smartphones, so that when you make that easy to use, when it's not an extra dongle or sled or other things, I think that's going to help provide capability and innovation.
To listen to the whole program, made possible by Media Group, log on to federalnewsradio.com.
Looking for tips to re-energize your agency's IT approach? Deloitte's top 10 technology trends share lessons from the front line, from real analytics to capability clouds to cybersecurity. Challenge conventional thinking and discover new pathways to efficiency, performance, and innovation. To download the report, visit Deloitte.com/federal. That's Deloitte.com/federal. Deloitte, helping government help America.
Arma, your home security system gives you peace of mind, but are you paying $30, $40, $50 or more in monitoring fees? Switch to Ackerman Security Systems, the metro area's most trusted name in security, and pay just $18.95 a month. That's right, $18.95 a month, and no cost to switch. Don't have a system? Then Ackerman offers the latest technology, including wireless monitoring. Call by Wednesday and get 3 months of basic monitoring free when you switch or start service with Ackerman. Call 888-999-1070. Ackerman. Security.com.
We raise high for GW basketball. Some raise high with the jump out of your seat, buzzer beating, hands to the sky scream. Others give their all in the GW fight song, Raising High the Buff and Blue. Raising High is more than just a movement. It's the movement for Colonials basketball, where senators and students, friends and families come together for the thrill of victory. Raise high with GW basketball today. Call 202-994-7325 or visit gwsports.com now.
To win and deliver government contracts successfully, you need to align with the right teaming partners. Meet Tech Systems. While often behind the scenes, Tech Systems has worked with government agencies and systems integrators for over 25 years. In fact, every year, they deploy over 70,000 IT professionals at over 5,500 client sites nationwide, including more than 65 government agencies. Tech Systems is active across a broad spectrum of government programs and has developed deep relationships to understand what works well and who does it best. Thinking about cybersecurity? Working on a cloud computing initiative? Tech Systems addresses critical program gaps related to people, projects, and work functions. Their delivery models scale from staff augmentation to IT project and outsourcing services to support transition, ramp-up, surge, and ongoing program support needs. Learn more at TechSystems.com. TEK Systems.com.
The Washington Caps and Skydex Technologies have teamed up to raise money for the TAPS organization through the sale of Courage Caps and T-shirts. TAPS is a tragedy assistance resource for anyone who has suffered the loss of a military loved one in service to our country. Courage Caps and T-shirts go on sale Saturday, November 12th. Help support the families and loved ones of our honored military men and women. Visit washingtoncaps.com/couragecaps for more information.
Maybe your car already has sensors to detect some hazards, but soon it could be communicating with other cars and traffic signals to help you avoid accidents. You can't always see everything around you, all the potential dangers on the road. So Jim Sayer at the University of Michigan Transportation Research Institute is equipping thousands of vehicles with wireless communication systems.
They'll be sharing with each other where they're located relative to each other.
So drivers can be warned if, say, a speeding vehicle is approaching the intersection ahead. They can also respond to messages from roadside monitors like,
slow down, you're going too fast for the upcoming curve.
Exactly how vehicles will alert the driver is still in the works.
Would it be lights or a vibrating seat or steering wheel?
The system will get a real-life road test in about a year. To find out more about this story, please go to www.nae.edu/radio. That's nae.edu/radio. With the National Academy of Engineering, Randy Atkins, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are talking to Lisa Doyle. Lisa is the Chancellor of the Department of Veterans Affairs Acquisition Academy. Lisa's been with the Academy since 2008, the year of its founding, and then she is the leader of the Academy. And Lisa, you mentioned earlier in the show that you are launching a new program, a Warriors to Workforce program. It's a I understand it's an acquisition internship school. Tell us about that.
I would love to. This is a very exciting new program we're opening next month. We have interviewed many Purple Hearts and Bronze Star candidates. They will be starting in December in a three-year internship program specifically designed for them. We are giving opportunities to our wounded warriors with service-connected disabilities that would like to enter the field of acquisition. And once they complete the intern program, they'll have jobs in the VA. So it will be veterans serving veterans. But it's important to uphold our promise and our mission to them, which is to care for him whom shall have borne the battle and for his widow and his orphan. That mission was so important that I painted it on the wall in the Academy. I commissioned a local artist who painted it in Abraham Lincoln's handwriting because it came from his second inaugural address.
Well, that's very cool.
And so that's painted on our wall so that we can see that every day. And it is going to be very cool to welcome those wounded warriors into the Academy. They'll be with us for 3 years. They'll be part of our typical holistic program, so they'll be getting their training, their contracting training, but they'll also be getting education. We've partnered with a local university. Part of the requirement for being a contracting professional is that you have to have 24 semester hours of business credit, and we have partnered with a local university. We'll use the veterans' GI Bill benefits to pay for their education, and within the first year, they will have their 24 hours of business. They will be infused into our holistic program where they'll be getting those interpersonal skills training that we also offer our existing interns. They'll be getting the leadership training. Leadership starts at every level. Many people say, why don't you wait and train them in leadership in their last year? Well, that's because leadership starts at every level, and they can serve as leaders in many ways, situational leadership. They'll serve in leadership roles when they're working on projects together and when they're working in teams. And so it's important to infuse leadership from the very beginning. As a matter of fact, one of the first things I do with our interns is we create a leadership stand of who we stand for as leaders, both individually and for each other and for the organization. The inaugural interns class team stand was so moving and so powerful that that I painted that on the wall as well.
Wow.
And that serves as a reminder for all of us and for the new interns as an example of what it means to be a leader and to work for the VA.
So this is a 3-year program. Can you just talk about, you've talked about the courses. Is the first year basically the classroom training, and then after that they go out into an internship? Can you talk about the progression over the 3 years?
Certainly. So within the Wounded Warrior program, the Warriors to Workforce internship program, we start off with the business training and infuse also the basic contracting training in year one. They'll also have the leadership courses, as I mentioned, as well as interpersonal. So we start them out making certain that they have powerful writing skills because, you know, in the field of acquisition, it's important to tell your story, to present a business case that will be upheld, and your recommendation followed.
Right, those pesky acquisition plans and pre-negotiation memos. I remember all that stuff, yeah.
Absolutely. So we train them throughout their 3 years on those technical writing skills, as well as creative writing skills and speaking skills, powerful speaking, powerful listening, and program management, as I said, is also part of their curriculum. After every technical training class, they go into a learning laboratory. It's a simulation using real VA work. It makes certain that they are able to apply the technical skills. So it's an experiential learning model where they take theory and put it into practice. It builds their competence and confidence and gets them ready to go out on job rotation. So in the learning laboratory, they are using real VA work. It's facilitated by a senior contracting professional. And really, they're there to make mistakes and to fail, because failure means learning. So that when they do go out on job rotation, they don't make the same mistake. They'll have learned from their mistakes, and they'll be able to perform and add value and serve as those value-added resources that are so desperately needed in the field. The Wounded Warrior program will also have the mission service aspect in their curriculum. So they'll do mission service projects, and we have done them from the beginning.
What is a mission service project?
So as an example, we worked with the Library of Congress to tape veteran stories, and those veteran stories are then captured in the Library of Congress, but we also were able to give a copy of that story to the family. So the family has that legacy with them and can keep that near and dear to their hearts. We have done job fairs for veterans and help them understand how to navigate USA jobs and how to understand what careers might be best for them in government. We've done Wounded Warrior picnics, for example, and played in Wounded Warrior golf tournaments and the like. So we're always, have the veteran in our minds, and our projects are around things that will benefit them. So as part of the curriculum, the interns are given the responsibility to come up with their project. They are put in teams, and they are supposed to manage that project, budget for that project, and then execute that project. And then, of course, they're evaluated on that project.
How many veterans have signed up for this inaugural class?
My inaugural class has 23 veterans.
Oh, wow.
Many of them have Purple Hearts. One has a Bronze Star thus far. One even has a service dog. So I'm looking forward to having a dog in the academy for the next 3 years.
The overall internship program, that's a 3-year program too?
That's a 2-year program.
2-year program. So how many folks have you had graduate from that since you started? Did you start it in 2008? And so you've had at least one graduating class?
I have had one graduating class. The other classes are still ongoing. And we'll graduate a class every year. Although what we've found is that we really need to scale and ramp up because of the need for acquisition professionals in the VA. So we'll begin 2 cohorts this year, 3 the next, mm-hmm. and so on. And so we can't infuse them fast enough. When we send them out on job rotation, we've sent them out to 70 different locations thus far. And what we're hearing from the contracting officers in the field is that they want to keep the intern. They don't want to send them back, and they want to keep them there. They're competent and confident, and they want to keep them as a value-added resource. And what I tell them is that bring them back to the academy, finish out their training curriculum, and then I'll infuse them into the VA workforce as soon as possible. You know, training is a force multiplier.
Right.
It will definitely add value, helps them work faster, better, smarter.
Well, also, it spreads the reputation of the academy, so folks see what the interns are doing. And, you know, I think it helps your other schools as well, right? I mean, the word of mouth, and I know it's a centralized sort of focus and people are going to sort of go there, but at the same time, I think it creates a positive environment where people say, yes, I do want to go. I do want to do my, you know, contracting officer training there. I do want to do facilities management there, program management, that sort of thing. So, so it sounds, the Wounded Warrior program here, it sounds like a truly wonderful thing. But right now, Lisa, we do have to take our last break. But when we come back, we'll be talking more with Lisa Doyle, Chancellor of the Department of Veteran Affairs Acquisition Academy. You're listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Concerned about your health? Then be sure to catch the groundbreaking radio show Essentials of Healthy Living, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda. Join hosts Dana Lake and Kevin Passero as they bring you the latest news about traditional and alternative medicine, dietary supplements, nutrition, and healthy living. Tune in every Sunday at 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio. Visit myvillagegreen.com. Listen to past shows and discover other healthy living resources. Essentials of Healthy Living is sponsored by Garden of Life and Himalaya Herbal Healthcare.
Listen to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio 1500 AM every Friday morning at 11. Brought to you by the attorneys of Shaw, Bransford, and Roth. Fed Talk features live interviews with guests from the federal community sharing their insights on issues that affect you. Call in or email questions or comments to fedtalk@federalnewsradio.com. Fed Talk is sponsored by GEICO. This week, host Deborah Roth will be joined by John Adler of the Federal Law Enforcement Officers Association to hear about their annual meeting and legislative efforts on the Hill.
So you blew it. You ate the donut. You slept in and skipped your workout. You had that second helping. Went a little overboard at the buffet. Hit the candy jar at the office a little too hard. You forgot to put safety first. You didn't eat your vegetables. You didn't even open that bottle of vitamins you bought. You accidentally left your gym bag at home. Your favorite machine was broken at the gym. Instead of your water bottle, you chugged a 2-liter of soda. You couldn't help yourself. You had a craving, or you simply couldn't resist. But you know what? It's okay. Two steps forward and one step back is still one step forward. One slip up isn't going to undo all that good work. So don't be afraid to embrace your setbacks and do whatever it takes to keep trying. At Kaiser Permanente, we believe the more you keep trying, the better chance you have to turn bad habits into good ones, because we think it's never too late to thrive. Visit kp.org/thrive.
Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of the Mid-Atlantic States Incorporated, 2101 East Jefferson Street, Rockville, Maryland, 20852.
Listen next week for a special edition of the Business of Government Hours Conversation with Author Series, exploring ideas for improving government effectiveness. Join host Michael Keegan and authors Dr. David Wild on cloud computing and government, Dr. Vicki Grant on process improvement in social service delivery, and Professor Sukumar Ganapati on the use of geographical information systems in engaging citizens. Next week on the Business of Government Hour.
How would you like up to $50 out of the blue? That's the wellness incentive from the Blue Cross Blue Shield Federal Employee Program. Complete our Blue Health Assessment and get up to $50 for qualified medical expenses. $50 out of the blue. Who knew? To learn more about the Federal Employee Program, visit whoknew.fvpblue.org or call 1-800-411-BLUE.
Previously on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, there was a special panel conversation about the F-35 program. Discussing the mission of the program, it's Tom Burbidge, Executive VP and GM of F-35 Program Integration.
I think the best way to think about this is not from an air superiority standpoint, but from the multi-role missions that the airplane performs. We actually have 22, I think it is, different missions that the airplane is designed to perform, and many of them are to hold strategic targets at risk. Sometimes we get into this dialogue about nobody else has an airplane that's quite as good as ours. stars in the sky today. That's certainly true, but this airplane's principal mission is to hold a strategic target on the ground at risk, and I think everybody would agree that understands the challenge that there's been a proliferation of integrated defense systems that surround geographical, strategically important targets. Penetrating that defense system and being effective in the future going forward is a real change in requirements versus what today's airplanes are capable of doing.
To listen to the whole program, go to federalnewsradio.com, keyword F-35.
Have you been in government contracting, procurement, or acquisition for 30 years? NCMA has. Join the National Contract Management Association for the 30th Annual Government Contract Management Conference, November 14th and 15th in Bethesda, Maryland. The conference draws more than 1,000 government contract management professionals. Hear from respected speakers such as Scott Gould, Deputy Secretary, Department of Veterans Affairs, Martha Johnson, Administrator, GSA, and Shay Assad, Director, Defense Pricing, DOD. Learn more at ncmahq.org today.
Wake up and drive in with Tom Temin and Amy Morris on the Federal Drive. It's your early line on the day ahead from your trusted advisors. Tom and Amy give you a full view of the issues. Find out what your colleagues in other agencies are up to and what policy and congressional developments mean to you. The Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Amy Morris. Weekday mornings from 6 to 10 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today we're talking to Lisa Doyle. Lisa is the Chancellor of the Department of Veteran Affairs Acquisition Academy, and we've been talking about the academy, its curriculum, schools, the Wounded Warriors program that they've established, internship program. And Lisa, one thing you mentioned to me on the break that I thought was interesting is how one of the focuses of this of the academy is to develop good business partners or good business advisors in the acquisition profession. Can you talk to us about that? Shed a little light on that.
Certainly. So our goal is to develop trusted business advisors. Those are more than contract specialists or professionals. They're really trusted business partners that are sought out by their stakeholders, their peers, their customers to provide that value-added advice, to really be part of the team, to have a seat at the table, to be able to develop the acquisition strategy and to bring their tools to bear at the right in the right way at the right time to broker the right deal. And so trusted business partners is really a concept we socialize with them from day one. So that they understand that they're not just going to be focusing on technical skills as they were in college, for example, that this is a very holistic program. And one of the first things that I give them is a sponge. And they look at me and say, okay, why did you give me a sponge?
Yeah, I was just looking at you and say, okay, tell me, why a sponge?
Right, exactly. Tell me more. They give me this crazy, puzzled look. Am I dirty? Do I need to wash? Do I need to clean something? You know, what is this sponge really for? Well, the sponge is for, it's really my expectation of them. It's for them to absorb everything that they're exposed to over the next several years and to really take it all in. What I expect is that what they put into the program is what they'll get out of the program. So this is about their personal leadership journey and their personal accountability to themselves to learn and to take away. The sponge also serves as a role model for me when they are full, meaning they've absorbed enough. By the end of the day, they hold their sponges up and say, I'm done. My sponge is full. They can also fill them with water and throw them at each other as well. So the sponge serves many purposes.
You know, I may use that in some when I do training for people. I'll bring in a sponge and sit it there or hand it out and say, okay, tell me when you're done, when you're full. I don't know. That's what's the right word? Is that a great metaphor? It's a great symbol. With regard to, I'm just curious, is the training also available online, any of your courses, or is it purely classroom, or are you leveraging online training in any way for the folks? Because, I know people don't realize how big the VA is and how many people work there and how big your acquisition workforce is. Are there strategies for how you outreach to folks in the field?
Yes, Absolutely. So we are quite large, over 300,000 employees in every state. And there is a robust distance learning strategy that we are infusing. And so we know that time is the greatest competitor of training. Supervisors need their employees to focus on the work and to get the work done. And many times they aren't able to allow them to take a break from their workload and go to training for a week or 2 weeks at a time. So distance learning does have an important role, both in training and in refreshing and making certain that they have tools that they can use to refer back to a knowledge management infrastructure. However, in our intern program, when an intern is exposed to a new skill or a new competency, I want that to be in a classroom where they can learn from the instructor and from each other. Now, that doesn't mean that when they're out on job rotation, they can't refer back to their course material because it is online for them, and they can look things up that they need to look things up or refresh their memories on certain things that they may have forgotten. And of course, you can't remember everything. And actually, I don't tell them to remember everything. I don't want them to waste their brain cells on memorizing the FAR, for example. I want them to use their brain cells on how to use the FAR properly and how to find things in the FAR when they need it and how to interpret the FAR appropriately. And so what I do is ground them in those FAR guiding principles first and foremost, because the FAR guiding principles say, basically, if the FAR doesn't say you can't do it, try it. But try it using business judgment, business acumen, and business savvy, and do it in a smart way, managing the risk associated with that decision.
Lisa, we only have a couple minutes left, and I just take a step back and sort of look big picture. And your work when you were previously in government before you came back to the VA and the Academy, and then we were Acquisition Solutions, focusing on developing a training program. From your perspective, where do you see the biggest challenges facing the acquisition workforce sort of across the board today, as opposed to, let's say, 10 years ago?
As I mentioned, time is our greatest competitor of training. So I would encourage all supervisors to recognize that training is a force multiplier and to allow their employees the time to take training, but also take the right training. And so I would also encourage those who are looking at training to look at that theory to practice, because it doesn't do you any good to have all the theory in your head if you come back to your desk and you say, wow, that was a great class, but I don't buy major weapon systems, and so I can't apply it. So it needs to be training that is
relevant to their jobs.
Relevant and applicable, immediately applied.
Lisa, it was great to have you on the show. The Academy's sounds like it's doing wonderful things. I'm especially very excited with the Warriors to Workforce program that you've established in the 23 initial members of that class. And I'm looking forward to them doing great things and you doing great things on their behalf. So I want to thank Lisa Doyle, the Chancellor of the Department of Veterans Affairs Acquisition Academy, for joining me today. I'm Roger Waldron, and this is Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
You've been listening to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition of Government Procurement. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Off the Shelf, Tuesday mornings at 10:30, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.